Okay, so today we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, and what I thought is we'll do something a little different today. Did you know that the Bhagavad Gita is a living book? So it's not just a text that you read, but it's a living person speaking to a living soul. In other words, whatever you're going through in life, whatever questions you have, whatever doubts are on your mind, if you open the Gita and you're able to have the right consciousness, Krishna will give you all the answers. Isn't it? Therefore, Gandhi said, whenever doubts haunt me, when disappointments stare me in the face and I see not one ray of hope on the horizon, then what do? Google it. I open the Gita and I find one verse, and immediately in the midst of overwhelming sorrow, I begin to feel great hope. So it's wonderful, the Gita is like that. And today we were out on book distribution. We were in Oslo, hassling the people in a nice way. And we met some really amazing people actually, and Neil, he'll share some stories with you later on of people we met on the street today. But what we often do with people on the street, we hand them the Gita and we say, open it anywhere. Tell me when to stop. And they say, it's like, stop. And then we read the verse, and then we say something, and they're like, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. So shall we do an experiment?
Yes.
Okay. So, seeing as you've got the front row seat, can you give me a number between 1 and 19? No, I'm joking. 1 and 18. Because there's only 18 chapters.
7.
Okay. 7. Knowledge of the Absolute. Perfect. Perfect. Good man. Okay. Prabhu, can you give me a number between 1 and
1?
You don't need to look up.
Give me a number between 1 and 30.
11.
Okay. Are you ready? Are you praying to Krishna? Because if you pray to Krishna, then this is exactly what you need to hear today. Let's see what Krishna is telling us. Chapter 7, text number 11. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatar shabha. Krishna says to Arjuna, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Purport. The strong man's strength should be applied to protect the weak, not for personal aggression. Similarly, sex life, according to the religious principles, dharma, should be for the propagation of children, not otherwise. The responsibility of parents is then to make their offspring Krishna conscious.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishthaya Rukale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namahine Namaste Saraswati Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pascha Shavadine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaya Radha Shri Vasari Gora Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are two types of people in this world, broadly speaking. People of the head and people of the heart. Put your hands up if you would say you're a person of the head. Logical, analytical. Come on, don't be shy.
Can we be 50-50?
No, I want to know what predominantly you are. Are you more head or more heart? Put your hand up if you're more head. Kusum Sarov is not sure. Okay, who's more heart then? Oh, we got a lot of heart. It's good to have heart in the Hare Krishna temple. What do you think is more important for spirituality, head or heart?
Both.
Heart, head, both, neither.
If there's no head, there's usually no heart there. And vice versa.
And vice versa. In spirituality, you need the head and you need the heart. What is Srila Prabhupada's name? Bhakti Vedanta. Vedanta means knowledge, the end of all knowledge. And Bhakti means devotion, the heart. Bhakti Vedanta is the person in which the head and the heart comes together. You see, if we only have heart, but we don't have head, we don't have philosophy, we don't have understanding, then sometimes the heart can become more emotional than spiritual. And if we have a lot of head and a lot of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, that's very nice. But ultimately, we want to experience love. Did you ever tell your husband or wife, I love you with all my head? Well, that would be nice, but it doesn't quite tick the box, you know. No, we love with all our heart, not with our head. But does that mean the head is not important? No, it's important. Even when we want to help the world, you need the head and you need the heart, isn't it? When the passion to help others comes together with the compass of knowledge, then the compass and the passion becomes compassion. Compassion doesn't just mean I really want to help someone. Compassion means you also have to have the heart to want to help someone, and you also have to have the knowledge of knowing how to help them. So you see, spirituality is about the head and the heart. Therefore, we read knowledge and then we do a kirtan, and it's like both support each other, isn't it? Because when you have the knowledge, then when you sing for Krishna, you can sing with a lot of appreciation, knowing about Krishna. So the head and the heart are very, very important. And in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. And it's explaining that when one gets knowledge of God, the natural next step after that is then to fall in love with God. So if you want to remember the entirety of chapter number 7 in the Gita, I'll tell you a really easy way to do it. All you have to do is remember the word head. That's all you have to remember. H stands for hearing. Because the first thing in verse number 1 of this chapter, Krishna explains that if you want to know about God, first you have to hear about God. If you want to see God, then the first thing you have to do is you have to hear about God. Spiritual life begins with hearing. You will never be able to see God if you don't hear God. If you don't know about God. If you don't understand what is His character. How does He look? What, you know what I mean? Like for example, if I said to you, Prabhu, is James Burton in this room?
I don't know.
You don't know? Why don't you know? Because you don't know who James Burton is. Maybe he's sitting right next to you. He may be. James Burton may be sitting right next to you. But if you don't know who he is, what he looks like, what he, you know, how he talks. He might be sitting right next to you, but you won't be able to identify him. So have you ever met someone who's asked you, can you show me God? Well, my friend, maybe God is sitting right next to you. Maybe, but you will never know if you don't first hear about God. So therefore, seeing God begins with hearing about God. Therefore, H stands for hearing. In this, Krishna says, Tachrunu, just hear. By how practicing this, you will get to know me. Then Krishna, now in these verses, this is the second part of the chapter, E stands for everywhere. When you hear about God, you won't just see God in the temple, you won't just see God in a picture, you won't just see God in the hearts of others, you will see God
everywhere.
God is everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. You won't be able to not see Krishna. Have you heard the story of Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu? And Hiranyakashipu was a demon. He said, where is your God? Where is your God? I can't see your God. Is he in this pillar? Hiranyakashipu couldn't see God anywhere. And Prahlad, he was the opposite. He could see God everywhere. So when Hiranyakashipu said, is he in the pillar? Prahlad said, well, he's everywhere. So yeah, he's in the pillar as well. And then we know what happened. Nrisimhadev appeared in the pillar. So when you hear about God, H, then you will be able to see E, God everywhere. But then Krishna goes on to explain, although I am everywhere, you can't miss me. Still, A stands for accept or reject. Because then in this chapter, Krishna explains, even though I'm everywhere in this world, there are four types of people that accept me, and there are four types of people that reject me. Even though Krishna is everywhere, there are still people who will accept and reject. Therefore, some people are believing God, some people don't believe in God. And then, in the final part of this chapter, Krishna says, there are also others who don't quite reject me, but they don't quite accept me as well. And who are they? The demigod worshippers. Demigod worshippers. They're ones that don't quite accept Krishna, but at the same time they don't reject. So this is exactly what Krishna talks about in 7th chapter. So tomorrow if anyone ever asks you, what does Krishna talk about in the 7th chapter? You can tell them, simple, head. First he talks about hearing. You can't see God unless you hear God. If you hear about God, everywhere, you will see God everywhere. But my friend, if God is everywhere, why is it? A, accept and reject. There are still people who may accept and reject. And then there are people who don't necessarily reject, but don't necessarily accept. Who are they? Demigod worshippers. And that's an easy way to remember chapter number 7. And for a small fee, all major credit cards accepted, and VIPs. I can tell you all the other 17 chapters. We'll do that. That will do another day. So this verse, number 11, is appearing in the section where Krishna is saying, you can see me everywhere. Later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will say a very, very beautiful thing. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava tad tadeva vagacchatvam mamate jumsa sambhavam. Krishna will say, whatever beautiful things you see in this world, whatever amazing creations you come across, whatever mind-blowing things you encounter, you should know that all of that comes from but one spark of my splendor. If you see someone who's an amazing singer, you should see that that ability comes from Krishna. If you go out and you see a beautiful flower, you should see that comes from Krishna. When you drink water and it quenches your thirst, that taste of water quenching your thirst is Krishna. Everything amazing you see comes from Krishna, and therefore everything can remind you of Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada was in an airport with another, with a brahmachari, celibate student. So one air hostess walked past. So he looked at the brahmachari and he said, "Very beautiful, isn't she?" So he thought, "What shall I say? Shall I say, yes, she's beautiful, but I'm a celibate student. Maybe he's testing me. But if I say no, then I'm disagreeing with him because he's saying she's beautiful. So what would you say? Beautiful, isn't she? Is she?" So he didn't say anything. He thought, "Look, I better just stay quiet here." And then Srila Prabhupada, he looked at the brahmachari and you know what he said? "If she's that beautiful, imagine how beautiful the person who created her is." You see? So when one is a devotee, they don't have to shut their eyes out and say, "There's no beauty, there's nothing nice in this world, it's all miserable, it's all dark, it's all terrible." No, we can see beauty in the world. But what do we see? We see the beauty of the person who created it behind that beauty. Every beauty of this world just reminds us how beautiful Krishna is. And therefore, everything will remind you of Krishna. So what does Krishna say here? "I am the strength of the strong." If I asked you, what are the different types of strength in this world? Can you give me an example? Like, okay, so one is physical strength. You see, like the world's strongest man. Like physical strength. What other types of strength are there?
Emotional strength.
Ability to control your emotions and not become overwhelmed. What other types of strength are there?
Intelligence.
Intellectual strength. The ability to analyze, to dissect, to explore, and to get to the bottom of something requires strength.
Unity of people.
Strength in relationships. It's not easy to live together. That requires also some strength, some resilience. One time one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "I just can't tolerate this devotee anymore." And you know what Srila Prabhupada said? "You have to tolerate him just as I am tolerating you." Right. So it requires some strength of tolerance to even live in a community together. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. I live with 30 monks. And I can tell you, it ain't easy. Sometimes you can't even get a peaceful night's sleep. But it's okay. Tolerate.
Yes.
So there's so many types of strength. Where does that strength come from? That strength comes from Krishna. How did Srila Prabhupada get the strength to come to the West? He stepped onto that ship at 69. All he had within his pocket is 40 rupees. And then on the journey to America, he had 2 heart attacks. And then he came off the ship, he said, "I didn't know whether to turn left or right." Sometimes I think Krishna specifically arranged Srila Prabhupada's life in such a way that there would be no excuse left for us. Because if someone comes and says, I can't do it because I'm too old, well, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada was 69. No, I can't do it because I don't have good health. Well, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks on the ship. No, I can't do it because I don't have good people around me who are going to help me. Well, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada came all alone. I can't do it because I don't have material security. I need to build up my bank. I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada only had 40 rupees, which, by the way, didn't count for anything in America at that time because you couldn't even exchange it. How did Srila Prabhupada have such strength to do it? How did he do it? You know, when he came to America, he came in 1965. The winter of 1965 in New York was the coldest recorded winter in history in New York. Srila Prabhupada had never seen snow before. And when he opened the curtains, he said, I thought someone had painted the whole city white. So innocent. He never knew. In a strange land, knowing no one, with no help, with no support, he lived in the Bowery. I don't know, what would there be an equivalent place in Oslo to the Bowery? No, Oslo is too nice.
Welcome
to London. What is the Bowery? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. The Bowery is Skid Row. The Bowery was the place where all the alcoholics, all the criminals, all the people who were somehow struggling in all aspects of their life, the Bowery was the place where all night you would hear crashing glass and police sirens. The Bowery was the place which was considered the most downtrodden place in New York. And Srila Prabhupada was living there. Srila Prabhupada, who was in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, the place of Krishna. In Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada was living in a temple, Radha Damodar. And you know what he said? Sometimes at night, I heard Krishna's flute. He came from the center of the spiritual world. And what did he do? He came to the center of the material world, New York, Lower East Side, Bowery. You know, Srila Prabhupada said, once I came into my residence, and when he would come into the Bowery residence, he would have to step over individuals who had passed out on the floor because they were completely drunk and drugged. He would have to walk by them in order to get to his room. You want to know how bad the Bowery was? Srila Prabhupada said, one day I came into my apartment to go up and someone had expired on the floor. A dead person on the floor. Imagine you would walk in here and you would have to walk by a dead person to come in here. You'd think, like, nice people, but I don't think I'm going to come here again. I don't think I want to come here to this kind of place. That's the place Srila Prabhupada was living in. When he came to an America, there was an Indian reporter. And an Indian reporter, right? He looked at the Swami and he said, why have you come to America? I mean, as if it was his country. He was also from India. Why have you come to America? So Srila Prabhupada looked right back at him and said, why have you come to America? The Indian reporter said, Swamiji, I came to America for better opportunities. Prabhupada said, me too. But you came for better opportunities to take. I've come for better opportunities. I didn't come to New York to take anything from anyone. I came here to give you what everyone is looking for. Love. Everyone is looking for love. But we don't know where to find love. Because only when you connect with the supreme source of all love, Krishna, then all your other relationships will be full of love. Otherwise, you don't need me to tell you, turn on the charts and look at all the songs, and they're all talking about love. But you know what they're talking about? Frustrated love. Last Christmas I gave you my heart, and the very next day I threw it away. But there's no love, frustration, because we don't know where love must be reposed. That's Krishna, the supreme beautiful, that person from whom all beautiful things come. So here Krishna is saying, I am the strength of the strong. In your life, put your hand up if you have some challenges in your life. We all have challenges. Once I was driving in London, and there was a sticker on the back of the car, and it said, do not disturb. Already disturbed. That's the situation. That's the situation. We are always disturbed. There's always some crisis, some problem, some difficulty. Financial problem. Relationship problem. Career problem. Husband problem, wife problem, children problem, problems, problems, problems. One time Prabhupada said, they keep coming to me with problems. I think they've mistook my name, not Prabhupada, problem pad. Keep so many problems. So life is so many problems. So how you will get... I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, dear friends. But no matter what you do in life, you will never be able to get rid of your problems. I'm sorry to throw that bombshell on you. If you thought that you could create a life in which all problems would disappear, I'm sorry. It ain't gonna happen. As they say in London. It ain't gonna happen. You know, Prabhupada was once driving and they got stuck in a traffic jam, right? So then they looked out of the window and there was a big sign and it said roadworks, temporary inconvenience, permanent solutions. So Srila Prabhupada, he looked at the sign and he began laughing and he said, the material world means temporary improvements, permanent inconvenience. I once went and I visited my brother, and he has a small daughter. So she had this, they have like a hammer, and then they have to like hammer all the things down, you know. But like when you hammer one, like the other one comes up, they don't realize underneath it's connected. So when you hammer one, so they're like trying, like, I'm going to get this down, I'm going to hammer every single one down. But as soon as you hammer one, another one comes up. Life is like that. Full of problems, full of difficulties, full of struggle. It's always inconvenient. So Krishna says, I'm the strength of the strong. Krishna doesn't say, I'm going to remove all your problems. But what Krishna says is that if you approach me, if you connect with me, if you understand the words of philosophy I'm giving you, if you take the holy name within your consciousness and always chant it, then you will have the strength to deal with anything. You will have the strength to face life. You will be able to not just go through problems, but you will be able to grow through your problems. You will be able to take everything that happens and use it in such a way that it evolves you and helps you to become better in your life. And so Krishna here is saying, I'm that strength. I'm the strength of the strong. In this world, people try to achieve strength in this world through different ways, and it never works. It all falls apart. So Krishna is saying, I'm the strength of the strong. Today, Krishna is telling us, think in your life. You feel a little bit weak sometimes. Sometimes you may feel weak in your spiritual life. Sometimes you may feel weak in your relationships. Sometimes you may feel weak in your ability to face the challenges and the disappointments of life. Sometimes you may feel so weak you think, I don't know if I can carry on. Today the message that Krishna is giving us is, I am the strength of the strong. Balam balavatam chaham. And if you want strength, just approach me. Because I can empower you to overcome anything. And then Krishna says, I am also sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. So sometimes people say, you guys are against it, you guys, why are you guys so against men and women being together? Why in your temple is there so much separation between men and women? No, Krishna says, we are not against sex life. Krishna says, I am, kamosmi. But I am that type of connection between a man and woman which is progressive, in which there is a connection for a higher purpose and for a higher service. Krishna says, I'm sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. In other words, when two people come together for the purpose of having children, to grow them up in such a way with love so that they can make an incredible contribution to the world and make the world a better place, then Krishna says, that is sacred. I am that. And so here Krishna is explaining. And in the forthcoming verses, Jagannath Baladev Subhadramaya Ki, Krishna will explain all the different things. He says, I'm the taste of water, I'm the light of the sun and the moon, of mountains and the Himalayas, of scriptures, I'm the Samaveda, which is incredibly poetic. Like this. So Krishna is the best thing of everything. Of smartphones, I am iPhone 14. Is there 14? Or is it 13? I have an iPhone 8. I am simple living, I think. Isn't it? Of phones, I'm iPhone 30. You see, you could say, like, the best thing in any category is Krishna. Krishna is all, everything beautiful comes from Krishna. So everything should remind you of Krishna. But we have to learn more about Krishna, and then we'll be able to see Krishna everywhere. Okay, let me, rather than giving a long lecture, open it up and see whether you may have any questions, comments, reflections, or anything you'd like to ask. That might be better than me just giving a long lecture. Is there anything you would like to ask or reflect on in terms of anything I've said thus far? Yes, Puruji.
You mentioned about when Prabhupada came to the West and shared his experience about spirit life. And you mentioned that he didn't have money, he was alone, and it was cold. But from Bhagavad Gita we know, so pure devotee is, he sees Krishna everywhere, isn't it? So he's happy by seeing Krishna. And your devotee also doesn't feel cold or doesn't feel like it's very warm, isn't it? So it's every time feels happy. And when Prabhupada came to West, he didn't know where to go, isn't it? But Krishna, who is every time guides him, isn't it? So is it right that he already knows the future and everything. So it's going to be suggesting that. Because, you know, pure devotee, he knows past, he knows what's now, he knows in the future, isn't it? Because we hear many stories, some devotees also have some questions, but he's already get answers somehow, without any saying. So actually, no, Prabhupada is not a simple man, because he was very, very advanced before he went to the... So my question, I think it's like we're saying he didn't know where to go, but he already knew, because he's feel very happy, he's new, so Krishna is guiding him, and he really knew what he's doing, but in some cases, it's explaining like, you know, in our conscience, we can see, oh my God, you're alone, you don't have money, you don't know what to do and everything, because everybody thinking like that, isn't it? But Prabhupada case was different, is that right?
Thank you. Yeah, good point. Did Srila Prabhupada know everything? You know, Srila Prabhupada was in New York in the early days and he was in a park. So he was sitting all alone in the park. You know, can you imagine in a New York park, a saffron monk from India in the middle of winter. So he was sitting on the bench and this one person called Mr. Rubin came and sat next to him. So he kind of looked at him and he said like, where did this guy, what planet did this person land from? You know, so then he looked at him and then he said, I'm from India, I'm on a mission. And so this Reuben looked at him and he thought, he's got like this mission. And he's just some guy from India, he doesn't even have proper clothes, no money. And then Srila Prabhupada could sense that he was feeling sorry for him. So Srila Prabhupada looked at him and he said, there are thousands of devotees. There are hundreds of temples. There are volumes of books. There is a worldwide movement. Only time is separating us from them. And this person was like, whoa. So it seemed as though Srila Prabhupada knew it was going to happen. But did Srila Prabhupada know exactly how it was going to happen? Could he see in the future? You see, Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. Krishna can tell him anything. But still, Srila Prabhupada was playing the part. He was playing the part of a human being. And so, he was also going through struggles. He was also, you know, like sometimes Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes in the early days in New York, I was going back to the dock to find out when the next ship was going back to India. So he was going, and he was finding out, when's the next ship going back to India? But every time he would look, he would think, no, no, I have to stay. But still he was playing the human part, you know, to kind of, so we can relate to it. Otherwise we just think, yeah, he's a pure devotee, it's easy for him. But me, I'm not a pure devotee, I have so much struggle. So Srila Prabhupada, yes, he knew everything. Yes, he was not experiencing any suffering in a higher sense. But in another sense, Krishna was putting him all through all of that. Like sometimes you wonder, Krishna, like, give him a break. You know what I mean? Like, he's come to do your work. Why do you put him through so many struggles? Because Krishna wants to show us that even if you're a pure devotee, there will be struggle. So, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I guess what I'm saying, in English there is a saying, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So Srila Prabhupada went through pain, but he never suffered, because his mind was always with Krishna. So, yeah, if we develop that ability, you know, each of us will have problems in our life, but we need to just, you know, like say for example, there's some water in here, okay? So once a teacher put a cup in front of her students and said, how heavy is this? So then some students said 3 ounce, 5 ounce, 7 ounce. And then you know what the teacher said? Is only heavy according to how long you hold it for. If you hold it for a few seconds and then you let it go, it's not heavy at all. But if you hold it for many, many hours, it may just be 3 ounces, but it's very heavy. So the water is not what makes it heavy. What makes it heavy is how long you hold it. So if this cup represents our life, then all of us have a certain amount of water which represents pain. Some have a little more, some have a little less. Everyone has something. But what makes it heavy? Not the amount of water that's in there, but how long we hold it for. And how do you let go of all of that? By connecting with Krishna. Because when you connect with Krishna, you can understand that behind all of this, there is a reason. And when you know behind all of it, there's a reason, you can let go of it and not let it hijack your consciousness. So because Srila Prabhupada was connected to Krishna, even though there was so much pain, he never felt suffering. Because he was able to let it go, because he knew behind it is Krishna, and therefore there's always a reason for it. I hope that helps.
It looks like Krishna was arranged, that's like difficulties just to make pleasure for himself also, and the same devotee gets also more happy for doing this hard work.
Thank you. Yes,
you're talking about knowledge of the absolute, and if you can reflect on Krishna is also known as the absolute truth, Param Satya. So what is that a little bit?
What is the absolute truth?
And why is it so, like, it comes everywhere, you know? Again, but it looks a little bit foreign to me.
Are you asking what does the terminology absolute truth mean?
I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
What is the absolute truth?
Okay.
So in the Srimad Bhagavatam we find a verse. Vadanti tattatvavidas tattvam yajgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. What this verse is explaining is that the absolute truth means the complete identity of God. Right? So what this verse is explaining is that the absolute truth means the complete identity of God, which is represented in three ways. God is the energy which pervades everything. This is known as Brahman. God is simultaneously within every single living entity's heart. This is known as Paramatma. And God is simultaneously an individual personality who you can relate to and have a face-to-face connection and interaction with. This is known as Bhagavan. So when Srila Prabhupada uses the word absolute truth, one of the reasons he uses that is to show that God, you know, like sometimes in the world you find debates. Does God have a form or is God formless? Can God be in a deity or should we worship God as an energy? But what the term absolute truth tells us is that God is everything. He has a form and he's also formless. He can be in a deity and he can also be an energy as well. God is everything. And that's what's meant by the term absolute truth. It means all the different features in which God manifests himself to the world. Like three people went to the train station to try to understand what is a train. So they arrived on the platform, and then in a distance they heard a horn, and they saw some steam, and they saw lights. So one person said, I know what a train is. It's sound, light, and steam. And then he left. The other two waited a little longer. The train came in. The second person said, I know what a train is. It's sound, light, steam, and there are carriages. And then he left. And the third person waited a little longer. People came out of the train. He said, I know what a train is. It's light, steam, sound, there's carriages, and there's people inside going from one place to the next. Who's right and who's wrong? In one sense, they're all right. But they all have a different level of knowledge. So the first person who only knows a train to be steam and light and sound, that's like the person who thinks God is an energy. They're right. But there's more to the story. The person who waited longer is like the person who knows that God is not just an energy, but He's in everyone's heart. But the third person who waited the longest, that person is like the person who knows that God is ultimately an individual that we can have a relationship with. And simultaneously, God is in the heart and God is an energy. And when one knows all three of them, then they know the absolute truth. And that is one of the ways in which we understand the terminology, absolute truth. Does that help? Anyone else would like to ask any question? Otherwise...
I wanted to hear those Sankirtan stories.
Oh yeah, Nihal, why don't you come forward and tell us? So this is Nihal, he's also traveling from London. He is a property salesman and a distributor of books in his spare time. So we were out in Oslo today, so we thought maybe we can share some stories with you
of
some of the people we've met. So.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share something with you. So we went to Oslo today. I was a little bit nervous. We went to the high street where it's pretty busy, and we just walked up and down trying to find a busy spot. And here we found a really nice spot, and there are lots of people. There are lots of wonderful people. We're saying hello to them, and they're all saying hello back. Very smiley. So we met a few people. I met two sisters, and they were really into what I was saying about stress and anxiety, getting free from stress and anxiety, meditation, yoga, mindfulness, breathing. And I said, we're not selling these books, and just, if you can kindly donate from your heart, whatever you want to donate. And one of the sisters was more than happy to donate 100, is it Norwegian?
Kroner.
Yes, and so I was really shocked and like, wow. And then I came to Sri Prabhu because they wanted to pay by Vips, and I didn't remember the bank details. So they were holding the Bhagavad Gita and a couple other books, so I thought they were like, I forgot the, in the ecstasy of trying to distribute books, I forgot what Sri Prabhu said about the prices. So he said, that the Bhagavad Gita is, I think, 200? Yeah, so, but then what happened is the both sisters donated 100 each. So I was like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting them to donate another 100, so we gave them four small books. So that was a really nice interaction. And then there was another couple, they were from the military, and I was talking to them about mindfulness and breathing and anxiety, and they said, they're really stressed, and they were just walking around, they de-stress on the weekend by walking around in the high street, and they took a small book, there was another couple, said they were stressed, and again, we spoke about anxiety and stress, and they took a small book. So we met some really nice people who took some books and made some nice donations. And I was feeling really like ecstatic and happy and on cloud nine. And then we came back here and I was still ecstatic and happy and really buzzing. And then this wonderful devotee in the grey shirt was speaking, and I was thinking, oh my God, like he's speaking, and maybe I should say something to everybody. And I didn't realize that, as I said, Prabhu, I can't hear the speaker. And then later on, Krishna, my intuition kicked in. I was like, oh my God, how foolish am I? You know, I come back, and I was so ecstatic, thinking I'm so amazing. And, you know, I spoke to this wonderful devotee that, you know, I can't hear the speaker. And then immediately after that, I thought, oh my God, I'm a fool. He's translating for this other devotee. I didn't even know it's either. So then when I was coming up, so Dr. Prabhu gave such an amazing class, and I was like, I was completely spaced out. I was just thinking about, oh my God, I'm such a fool, and now I need to share this with you, because otherwise, otherwise I'm feeling more bad. So I was on cloud nine, and then Krishna brought me back to ground level. And so yeah, it's been a day of like, realizations and success of giving out books, and say a failure as well. But yeah, it's been a day of wonderful realization. So I really encourage you all to go out wherever you live, or even to where we went. And people are very generous. People are very happy to talk to you. We didn't do anything special. We just said hello. We smiled. Just showed them the books. Gave them the books. Said, have a read. What do you think of these books? And they were so happy. And yeah, it was an amazing experience, and they're super grateful. So thank you for your time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it was very nice. I also met one person, one young boy, he had dreadlocks. And then I stopped him and I said, I'm a monk. He said, I want to be a monk. Wow. I said, what are you doing? I said, you're going to have to lose some of that hair, you know? And then he said, he's at university, and he said, I'm studying religion. I'm studying a religion, a degree in theology. It's a 6-year degree. And at the end of it, I'm going to decide... I want to be a monk. I'm studying theology for 6 years, and then I'm going to decide what type of monk I want to be. And so that's what he's doing. So I said, I got a little more reading for you. I gave him Bhagavad Gita. He was very, very happy. And actually, when I stopped him, he was actually just about to go to the cash point. And he said, I'm going to the cash point because there's all these people on the street, and they don't have anything. So I'm going to the cash point, and then I'm going to go and I'm going to buy something, and I'm going to go and give. He said, because I connect to God by helping others. That was very nice. And so we had a very nice conversation. So yeah, he may be coming soon. you won't be able to miss him. He's got long dreadlocks. Very nice person. So yeah, it's very wonderful. We go out and we try to share, we try to help. I'll share with you one final principle of Krishna consciousness, which is very powerful. If you try to share knowledge with others, Krishna will make you very wise very quickly. If you try to help other people solve their problems, if you try to help other people solve their problems, your problems will disappear in the process. If you try to help other people find happiness in their lives, you will find happiness in your life. And if you try to help people awaken the love and devotion that's within their heart, then the love and devotion within your heart will automatically awaken. So they say you find yourself by thinking of others. And it's such a beautiful principle in life, that the more and more we can try to think of others, serve others, help others, then our own life becomes very, very beautiful. So I leave you with that final meditation. And should we conclude with a bit of kirtan?
We have
arti now.
Arti,
okay,
and
sure.
Then the Shinga prayers and then some few announcements.
Is that a stand-up arti? Oh, it's a stand-up. Okay, sure. So thank you so much for your kind attention. And it's wonderful to be in Oslo. And hope to be with all of you again soon. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.